So with the debt deal all but behind us, what's Wall Street worried about now? Take your pick.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Jeremy Hobson. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Comes the dawn for investors, and there's still that cloud of a possible credit downgrade looming over the debt deal, which the Senate will be voting on shortly. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner on ABC's Good Morning America almost sounded like he was appealing to the credit raters for some patience.
It's not my judgment to make, and they have to make that judgment. But, this is in some ways a judgment on the capacity of Congress to act. And what this deal does is put us in a much better position to make those tough choices.
It's not just tough choices, but tough times causing worry on Wall Street. This morning we learned consumers cut spending 0.2% in June. May sound small, but it was actually the biggest drop in nearly 2 years. So where's Wall Street? Not off to a good start. The Dow is down 32 points at this hour, a quarter of a percent. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 both down around 0.3%. Let's get some analysis now from Julie Nieman, who joins us from Smith Moore & Company. Julie, let's start with this idea from the Treasury Secretary that at least we're now in a better position to make tough choices without actually having made all those tough choices. How important is it the credit raters might not be satisfied with that?
Well, Bob, there's no cause for a debt ceiling after party today. Probably the biggest thing, though, is consider the source. Standard & Poor's was the outfit that reassured the markets on Lehman Brothers' excellent financial condition the day before they blew up. So you have to keep that in mind.
That's
but
right.
But a debt downgrade long-term would mean basically you're wiping out any conceivable benefits from spending cuts because the cost of your debt goes up. But in the short run, the U.S. is still the safest place to be. And globally, we're all debt-ridden dogs. We're the best-looking dog in the kennel, and money is still coming here because we look better than Europe than anybody else.
Now, Mr. Geithner suggests confidence in the U.S. has been damaged by what he calls this spectacle. And as if to prove that, here come these dismal consumer spending numbers. How much of a worry is that?
Oh, this is just a continuation in a long string of very negative economic news. Manufacturing index was only slightly positive. That's a real struggle here. Consumer spending down for the first time in 2 months. The biggest problem is consumers also have too much debt, and they're still unwinding that debt. It's not ability to pay. It's the staggering huge amount that they have. And they have job insecurity, and they can't sell their houses. So we're still in a downtrend on any kind of recovery here.
And just when things are not looking so good in Europe as well, Julie Nieman at Smith Moore & Company. Thanks.
You bet.
It's not all deal-making on Capitol Hill today. Funding for the Federal Aviation Administration could be in a holding pattern for more than a month. Congress may actually go on vacation without passing a budget extension for the FAA. Joining me live to explain the impasse is Marketplace's Gregory Warner. So what's behind this, Gregory?
Well, Bob, you know when you buy an airline ticket, you pay extra for taxes and fees. Those taxes help pay for airport repair projects. But 10 days ago, Congress failed to extend the FAA budget, and the agency lost its right to collect those taxes. That's about $200 million a week. So those infrastructure projects are on hold. And just to get a sense of what this looks like on the tarmac, I called aviation analyst Robert Mann.
Well, it's everything from safety projects being deferred, control towers not being built, or in the case of LaGuardia Airport, old control towers not being demolished so that the sight lines from the brand new terminal can be improved.
Well, that's what's happening, but why? Why can't Congress agree on this one?
Well, some call this a fight over taxpayer subsidies to rural airports, but the much, much bigger issue is a union fight. The Obama administration passed rules that make it easier for airline unions to organize, but airlines don't like that, and FedEx doesn't like that, so they're pushing back with the help of Republicans. And at least in the short term, airlines don't really have incentive to compromise on this. I mean, I don't know if you bought an airline ticket in the past 10 days, but the ticket may not be cheaper, because many airlines, not all, but many are keeping the money that used to go to taxes. So just this month from that, they could pocket an extra $1 billion that would have gone to the FAA.
Well, I bought it before this, and they say if you bought the ticket before this started, you've got to contact the IRS for your refund. Marketplace's Gregory Warner, thanks.
Good luck with that. Thanks.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
A Chinese company has announced in the next few years it'll replace a portion of its workforce with robots. And it's not just any company, it's Foxconn, which assembles iPads and iPhones and has been criticized for working conditions. Are China's workers now becoming too expensive to employ? And if so, where will their replacements come from? Our China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
Foxconn's chairman said he's opting for robots because the cost of labor in China is too high. Other manufacturers along China's fast-growing East Coast have noticed the same thing. Employees aren't coming back after holidays because they're not being paid enough. As a result, Jeffrey Crothall of China Labor Bulletin says he's seeing a lot of factories near Hong Kong go bankrupt.
But as those industries are closing down, more and more are opening up in inland provinces.
Crothall says foreign companies are opting to head to lower-cost provinces in China's interior rather than packing up and leaving China. That's because China's home to the fastest-growing consumer population on the planet. So why move your factory when your consumers are right next door?
They have to be in China. They can outsource some of their production to other developing countries, as you say, like Bangladesh, Cambodia, Indonesia. But they will still maintain quite a substantial presence within China.
Last year, Foxconn was criticized for its working conditions after a dozen factory workers killed themselves. Crothall says if robots can take over some of the more tedious work at these factories, that's a good thing. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Finally, General Motors is planning to offer a new option, giving owners of vehicles with its OnStar system a way to track their teenage drivers real time. Don't get the wrong idea, though. GM says, think of it not so much as spying, but staying connected to family members when they're on the road. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
You lose a job, it's not just a paycheck that goes.
All the markers of identity and dignity are trashed in a way when you lose a job. It's not a joke.
We're not laughing. I'm Kai Rizdal. Humiliation. Next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.